Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek Aleph, we are up to the children of Esav. Okay, so the children of Esav begin with Pasik Lamed Hei. We concluded yesterday with the idea, this interesting idea of Ayel Avraham Es Yitzchak Bnei Yitzchak Esav Yisrael. We discussed yesterday the significance of Yisrael Nad Yaakov. We jumped to the end of the parak where it says that Alufei Edom, not Alufei Esav. Now we begin with Pasik Lamed Hei Bnei Esav. We're going to Miyaches, the descendants of Esav. So we have here a handout, how everyone has. If you don't have, there are more here. Okay, I don't know why. I really don't know why. I searched high and low to find tables and charts and graphs. And in the back of the article, Chumash, they have beautiful charts I've given you for the 70 children, grandchildren of Shem, Cham, and Yafes. And I found some very nice charts for the Bnei Yaakov. And I have an entire Sefer called Teras Rashi, which has charts for most of Sefer Divrei Hayamim. But I've searched and searched, and I cannot find anywhere a chart that enumerates all of the children of Seir HaChoyri and the children of Esav. And I wonder why. It's not so simple. It does require some graphical view. And maybe I was just wondering, maybe there's a prohibition. I don't know. You don't want to be miyaches. You don't want to give too much credit to the children of Esav who are responsible for so much churban in this world. I don't know. I just find it very interesting why I have such a hard time finding a professional graph, chart, table of the Bnei Esav. Genealogy of the Bnei Esav, at least visually, a visual. The art scroll doesn't have anything. Check it out. You have the art scroll? Yeah, maybe I missed it. Oh, I didn't see this. Okay, very good. Had I known. Because in the Hebrew art scroll.
Now that may be, but.
So why didn't they include this in the Hebrew art scroll?
Because it's not written in Hebrew.
This is a really interesting. Okay, this is very, very interesting. Okay, thank you very much for showing this to me. Had I known, it would have saved me a lot of work. Okay. So let's see what we have here. We're going to use my chart because I made a photocopy of what I gave in front of you. Let's take a look. Okay, in the stone edition, indeed, they do have a chart. That must mean they must have a chart elsewhere. I should go look, you know, I really should. What if I didn't look at the the article Tanakh, the complete Tanakh. I wonder if they have something there. I figured everything they have, they'll have in the back of the Hebrew Chumash. Because the Hebrew Chumash does have tables and charts and graphs, quite a collection. But they did not have what we're about to see now. Let's see, okay. Pasik Lamed Vav, Bnei Esav, Eliphaz, Reuel, Viush, Vialom, Vikarach. That's what we see on the top. And I know it's a little bit confusing. I've added some more details. Esav had at least three wives. Okay, and a lot of this stuff you can see in more detail in Chumash in Bereshis, in Perek Lamed Vav, Chumash Beresh Perek Lamed Vav, where the Torah enumerates the children of Esav. And again, we always discuss, they're always trying to contrast the focus of Divrei Hayam verse, what it says in Chumash Bereshis, and really from the larger picture for the first nine Perakim, the genealogy that appears in Tanakh. But here there is no mention of his wives. And that's interesting, that's important, that's an interesting point. We're only mentioning his sons, but Esav had three wives. The first wife was Oda, Bas Elon Hachiti. And it's interesting to note, okay, we don't have the chart from yesterday, but who were his wives? Where does Esav come from? So Chiti is one of the sons of... Chiti is Ches. Seemingly, Chiti is Ches, which is Canaan. Canaan plays a very prominent role in world history. Canaan was the son of Chom. Chom was cursed, right? Ever Avodim, due to what he did to his father Noach. But Chom had, we learned four sons, Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. Mitzrayim, we all know about Mitzrayim. And Canaan, his fourth son, produced basically the nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael until we arrived to take possession, which includes Sidon, Ches, Yevusi, Emori, Hagirgoshi, Hachivi, Hoarki, Sini, Hoarvodi, Hatsamos, Hatsamori, Hachamosi. Some of those names are familiar, some are not. Some of them have transmogrified or transformed into the nations that we do know. But he has here these collection of sons. So we have here Hachiti. So the first one of Esav's wives was Oda Bas Elon Hachiti, seemingly from the nation of Ches. The second wife was Bosmas Bas Yishmael. He married into the family of Yishmael, which comes much later, which comes down from a different line, not from Chom, but comes from Shem. And the third one was from Oholiva Bas Ona Bas Tzivon Hachivi, comes also from one of the sons of Chom, of Canaan. So that basically means that Esav has aligned himself with Shem and with Cham and not with Yefes. That's very interesting. All of the marriages, the world comes from three people. After the Mabul, the world was destroyed. Noach leaves the Teva. There are three people that come out of the Teva with him: Shem, Cham, and Yefes. The whole world comes from Shem, Cham, and Yefes, and they're very different. Cham was cursed for what he has done to his father, to Noach. Shem is blessed. From Shem comes Klal Yisrael. And Shem, that's not only Klal Yisrael, he branches out into many different parts of the world. Yefes, we know Yefes is Yafel, is a very sophisticated nation, that's Paras Umodai. Yefes is Yafta Lakim Yefes, they did contribute very much to the world. Yavon, we live today to a large degree under the influence of Yavon. Yavon didn't just come to an end at the time of the Chashmonaim. Yavon's influence continues Ad Hayom Hazeh. Yavon is Greece. And
or rips off everything from Greece.
Now, we do have, okay, so we have here. And who's part of the Yefes? Ashkenaz. Who's Ashkenaz? I mean, that right away wakes us awake. Who is that? Who exactly is that? We don't really know.
Right, we
don't really know. Is it anything to do with Germany? Okay, we don't know that. It's, I show you really, you can't generalize. Okay, but it's always kedai when you study world history to trace the roots to one of these three people, to understand the nature of these three people, and to appreciate where we stand in relation to them. So now we're dealing with, we know that Klal Yisrael comes from Shem, and we took over Eretz Yisrael, which was occupied by Chom, the descendants of Chom, more or less. Esav, who decided to expand his power base, very good word. He branched out to Chom, but did not branch out, at least that we know of, to Yefes. So here we have Esav. Who is Esav? He had five sons, three wives. The first wife, two of his wives, was Chiti and Chivi. That's Ches and Chivi, two sons of Canaan. And the middle wife was Bosmas Bas Yishmoel, and she obviously was part of Shem. These three wives produced five children. Oda, daughter of Ches, Bas Elon Hachiti, produced Eliphaz, as you see on the chart, one child. Yishmoel produced Reuel, and Oholivama Bas Ona Bas Sivan Hachivi, which we'll learn about more soon, produced three children: Yeush, Yalom, and Koirach. Three children were produced by Oholivama. Okay, now let's go back to the Pesukim. So Bnei Esav, Eliphaz, we have the five children, Eliphaz. Bnei Esav, Eliphaz, Reuel, Viush, Vialom, VeKoirach. Now Bnei Eliphaz, now we're going to go look at our chart, we're going to list the grandchildren. Who are they? Taimon, Omar, Tzifi. Now in the Torah he's not called
Tzivo in the Torah.
What?
The Torah is Tzivo.
Tzifo, with a vav, right? Tzifo. So that's discussed. Why did his name change from Tzifi to Tzifo? Okay, but I don't know why. Vigatom, next, Kinaz, and Visimna, and Amalek. Sinai here is listed as a son, and Amalek is listed as a son of Eliphaz. So how many do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sons of Eliphaz. 7 grandchildren coming to Esau from Eliphaz. Now, here's the problem. Let me read you the pasuk in the Torah. In Parshas of Vayishlach, the Yichus of Esau. So it says here, Be'ela told us Esau the Edom Harsir, Elishmos Mesav, Eliphaz, Ben Oda, Eshes Esav, Ruel, Ben Bosmas, Eshes Esav. So first we listed two sons. Okay, and here we break up the order. We first listed the two sons, Zayihu B'nei Eliphaz. I'm reading you a pasuk, you don't have it in front of you, but reading you a pasuk in Chumash. Taimon, Omar, Tsifo, okay, not Tsifi, but Tsifo. Okay, whatever reason, I don't know why, whatever reason it was changed.
Probably a misprint when it was
No, Chas Hashem, we don't say that. We don't like to say that it was a misprint. We don't say that. I hear Yud Nevav very similar. Yeah, if it's a Tinoik, if you have Sefer Torah, you're not sure it's Yud Nevav, it's very easy to make a mistake. But we go with a Mesoira that is a much deeper reason, it's not a misprint. It's very easy to say that, I agree with you, ancient times, but we don't do that. Sifo, Vigatam, Kinaz, stops. Okay, now there's the pasuk ends. Next pasuk. This Simna, there was a person called Simna, Hoysa Filegesh. So the first thing it says very clearly in this pasuk in Chumash that Simna was a female, not a male. Now, if you read pasuk Divrei that we just read, you wouldn't blink. You were listing the sons, right? Doesn't that say in the pasuk Bnei Esav? Bnei loosely can mean the children, but it's more literal to translate as the sons, males, and the list Timna as a son, a male, not a female. Here it says that she was a female, and not only was she a female, she wasn't even a son. She was a foreign woman from some other place, we'll see. She was a Filegesh, Le Eliphaz. She was married to Eliphaz, Ben Esav, Atele Le Eliphaz Es Amalek, and she produced Amalek. So basically, Amalek was a great-grandson of Esav. Esav had a son, Eliphaz. Eliphaz had a son... It was from a different wife.
Right.
Amalek was not a son of... He was a son of Eliphaz, but it was a son of Eliphaz through a Pelegish called Timna. Ela, and that concludes B'nei Oda Eshes Esav. So we have over here a very difficult question. What is going on? What is going on over here? How come we have this discrepancy between these two psukim? So there are different answers. The first answer we can give is, there are really two Timnas. This is a very popular answer. There was a Timna who was a son, and there was a Timna that was a Pelegesh. So in Divrei Hayamim, we refer to the son Timna. There was a son that indeed, Eliphaz had a son Timna. And Eliphaz had a son Amalek, and it just so happened to be, we're not mentioning in Divrei Hayamim wives, we did not mention the wife that all of these children came to this world through Oda Bas Elon. Likewise, we're not going to mention Amalek came to Eliphaz through a Pelegesh called Timna. It just so happens to be, it's just a matter of coincidence as far as we're concerned, that there were two Timnas. There was a female Timna, and there was a male Timna. There was a male Timna that was the biological son of Eliphaz. And there was a woman Timna that was a Pelegesh that was taken by Eliphaz and produced another son called Amalek. That is one approach. Now some Farshim want to say, this is a principle, the art scroll, Divrei Hayamim, he elaborates upon this at length. There are certain rules, I'm not familiar with these rules, I think this is quoted by the Ramban, if I'm not mistaken. There are certain rules of translating of grammar, biblical grammar. And there's a set of rules, 32 rules by Rabbi Yossi Haglili, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the rules is that if you have a pasuk, the Torah likes to save words. If you have a pasuk, and the end of the pasuk ends with one word, and the beginning of the next pasuk begins with exactly that same word, even though those two words have completely different meaning for the end of one pasuk and the beginning of the next pasuk, the pasuk is mekatzer, and only writes the word once, but it's self-understood that the word should be repeated. This is an ancient way of writing. We had one example when we learned in either Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Devarim. I even wrote down some examples on the bottom over here, which unfortunately I was a little bit rushed. I didn't get a chance to look up. Maybe look up together in a few moments. But that would then mean, if we go back to the pasuk in Parashas Vayishlach, I'll read you the pasuk again. Vayiyu v'nei Eliphaz, who were his children? Temon, Omar, Tzifo, V'gatam, Ukinaz. Don't stop there. Go one more word. V'simna. Simna was the sixth son, a male son of Eliphaz through the mother of Odabas Elon. Now, repeat it. Repeat that word, a new pasuk. And also, there was a female person called Simna, who was Haisa Pilegesh Lelifas Ben Esav. She was a Pilegesh Lelifas Ben Esav, and she was married to Eliphaz. Vatele Lelifas Es Amalek. So, this is a style of writing where the beginning of a pasuk is really the end of a previous pasuk, and we repeat it twice. Now let me give you another example of this concept in Bereishis Perik Lamed Aleph. Perik Lamed Aleph, pasuk Mem Ches and Mem Tes. The pasuk there concludes. Okay. Vayomer Laban, Hagal hazeh eid b'ni uveincha, hayom al kein kora shmo galeid. Then pasuk mem tes begins, v'hamitzvah asher omar. So according to the Ramban, the word galeid is meant to be repeated. Al kein kora shmo galeid, period. Galeid v'hamitzvah asher omar. You have to look at the Mefarshim there to understand it. Okay, but there are other examples. I'm not clear on that example. But that's what he cites, another example to illustrate this point. Okay, I have to...
The rule again,
the rule is if you have a pasuk, and the pasuk, if you would write the pasuk the way we write psukim today, the way we write in other languages, and the last word of the sentence is identical to the first word of the next sentence, the Torah does not write it twice, only writes it once, and it's self-understood that you should repeat the word.
So how do you know when that occurs?
Tradition. Just like you need tradition for the vowels and the tamim, you need tradition for knowing how to break up the psukim. And this is a rule. So timda is repeated twice. Okay, now that is one approach. Now by the also, there's another source. I don't have the sources, but this person, Timna, was very disturbed that he had the same name as the Pilegesh, so he changed his name. There's sources that indeed he did change his name to... I'm not sure. Okay, but let's leave it with that. Okay, let's go further. Let us proceed to Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, we now go to the second son. The second son is B'nai Ruel. The second son of Esav, that this son came to Bosmas Bas Yishmael. What was his name? Nachas. Who were the sons? Four sons. Nachas, Zerach, Shama, Umizah. Four sons. And this here comes this expression of Yiddish Nachas. I'm sure you've all heard that. You wish a person, why do you wish a person Yiddish? It's not a joke. Or this of art. Why do you wish a person Yiddish Nachas? What else? Goyish Nachas. That's right. Because Esav also had Nachas. He had a grandson. The Enikol is Nachas. So you don't, when you wish a person you should have Nachas, I don't mean you should have Goyish Nachas. Like Esav had Nachas, an Enikol called Nachas. I wish you Yiddish Nachas. It's a famous one. It's a serious, serious one because Esav had Nachas. Okay. Nachas Zerach Sham Umizo. Next. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Now we come to the... We only mention... So notice we stop short. We stop short. 3, 4, and 5. We do not mention the children of 3, 4, and 5, who were the children of Oholivoma, Abbas On, Abbas Sivon, Hachiti. We do not make mention of those children. Okay, that's everything is pretty much the same in the Chumash. Now we come to Pasuk Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav begins with Vnei Seir. Who in the world is this guy, Seir? Big mystery. all of a sudden, we're chasing the lineage of David, we're going back to creation of the world, we're very selective. Adam, we skip Cain the Hevel, Shais, Enosh, we then go down 10 generations, we then come to Noach, Shem, Cham, and Yefes. We selectively pick a few people from the five sons of Esav. So the question now is, what are we doing now when we're coming to say who is saved? So let me read you a Ramban. Okay, this is a very big mission because the Torah doesn't say anything about who is sayer, and the Torah doesn't say anything about what we do, we're about to do now. So the Ramban appears in Chumash Devarim, Perek Yud. It's a very important Ramban to understand the Yichus of Esav. It's Ramban Devarim Perek Beis Pasuk Yud or Pasuk Tes. Okay, give me 1 second. Devarim Aleph. So many pages. Beis, okay. Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Yud. Ho'enim lefonim yashuva am gadol v'rav ram ko'anokim. And in the Ramban's discussion, he says, I'll read you the words slowly. V'hine omar ki ha'choyrim shehem la'avraham. Yashvu b'seir lefanim. He's reviewing different sukkim from Chumash Bereishis. Now, one thing I have to mention, very important, that here in Divrei Hayamim, we only refer to Seir by his name, Uvnei Seir. In Chumash, in Parshas Vayishlach, it says Eile Vnei Seir Hachori. Who is the Hachori? What does that mean? Also very bizarre. Who is Hachori? So the Ramban here explains, in Devarim, all places, the Ramban in Chumash over here, in Parashat Yishlach tells you, look in my parish in Mishneh Torah, in Devarim, Perek, Beis, Pasek, Yud, there I explain to you the significance of Seir Hachori. Uvnei Esav Shehem Zera Liavraham. Okay, we know that. Esav are his children, grandchildren. Yoshu Oysam. The Yoshu Tachtam. The Masene. Shehoyu Heim Amra Biartsam. The Esav Bo Logur Shom Venizchazek Aleim. Kasha Osa Yisrael Yeser Hagoyim Shal Avraham Asher Nosan Hashem Lohem Bekoich HaGadol. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael. Miracles. And gave us the power to conquer Eretz Canaan. See, there are always parallels in this world. We conquered Eretz Canaan, the seven nations of Canaan, the first, this symmetry. Likewise, Hashem gave supernatural koyach to Esav for them to conquer the land of Seir. We conquered Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, a teeny little dot on the map. They conquered a much larger, significant land called Seir, and established a nation called Edom. What is the land of Seir? V'hine hinich l'Hashem kol la'am rahim l'zar shel Avraham echad mehim l'Esav v'hishir l'Yishol ben Abuchar. Okay, that's one part of the Ramban. Let me jump to the next part of the Ramban before where the part I really need. V'yitochein. Now when the Ramban says v'yitochein, it means it's not absolutely certain. After Ramban says he's not absolutely certain, we can be sure there's no one that's absolutely certain about this, because there's no one that's greater than Ramban in these matters. So the Ramban obviously is very bothered in Chumash. Who is this mystery man called Seir Hachori, which the Torah goes to great length to tell us his children, his grandchildren, the genealogy of this person, and then Esav marries into their family? Why is the Torah spending a whole perek on this family? Who are they? The Yitochin. It's likely, but it's not absolutely certain. Shenikra Choyri, the reason why he's called Chivi, I'm sorry, Chivi, Al Shem Shayinochesh. No, I'm not using this print. I saw from a different print. It's a different part of the Ramban. V'cheitim Mochemes. One moment, please. Here's Ramban. Okay, v'chein yazkim chomokam b'nachmat yishol hachivi Hemaknani b'shirasam ki hinim lebein hashish shiknan v'chein tibu l'chemes amrafel. V'nei omar ki hachoyrim asher li Avraham. He says it somewhere beferish that is from the children of Canaan. I'm having a hard time finding it. Here it is, okay. V'chein yasim l'chemokim menachlas yishol ha'eshachi vi. Im hakanani b'shiras agoyim ki hinim lebein hashish shibnu k'nan v'chein tibu l'chemes amrafel. The zeu shesamach hakasav lezeu v'seir yoshu hachoyrim lefonim. And in seir, seir is the name of a place on the map.
The place is more important than
seir. Okay, so now what is seir? Seir means hearing. Sar. Seir refers to Esav. It was not called Seir originally. It was a piece of land. We have no idea what it was called. It was a vast piece of land where people from the Shevet of Chivi. Who is Chivi? If you look on the chart from yesterday, Chivi is one of the children of Canaan. There was Chom. Chom had a son, Canaan. Canaan had a son called Chivi. Chivi went and they moved out. Wherever they moved, they conquered a piece of land. And in fact, one of Aholivama was a Chivi. Esav had all of these children and these grandchildren, and they very much like the land of the Chivim. The Chivim, which came way before them, the Chivim who were descendants, were grandchildren of Chom, they conquered and developed the land of Chivi. Esav took a very great interest in this land, and they came there, and they conquered it, and they intermarried with the people of Chivi. Chivi is another form of Chori. That's what the Ramban says. He says it's not absolute, v'yitochein, that Chivi and Chori are one and the same. After a number of generations, Esav became dominant, and they changed the name of the land to Seir, to refer that Esav was an Ish, Seir. That no one should make a mistake and think that this land belongs to a nation, calling change the title of the country, so that no one should come, they rewrote history. No one should one day, the Indians shouldn't come back one day and say, you stole the land from us. It was never your land. Look at the name of the land. The name is called Seir. Seir means Ish Seir. It was always the property of Esav. But the Ramban says that's not the truth. The truth is, this land was the property of the descendant of Chom, the grandchild of Chom called Chivi, who had many children, conquered the land, and Esav, like his grandchildren, liked that land. They intermarried with them, as we're going to see now, and they conquered the land and they took possession of the land. And this conquering was lemalo miderech hateva. Hashem gave a special power to them because they were the enekloch of Avraham Avinu. But may kvoidoy shel Avraham. Hashem gave them special power, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu gave special power to Yaakov's children to conquer Eretz Canaan. So that's the yichus, the genealogy of the person Seir. Uvesir Yoshua Achim Lefonim, Yoimar, ki ba'avur hatam hazeh shehizkir b'moav, yimneim gam kein b'er meretz Seir, ki melefonim, here's the part that I need, ki melefonim, originally, hoysa afhi min hachoyrim, the land of Seir, what we call today Seir, belong to the Chorim. Now, we don't even know who the Chorim are, because the word Chorim doesn't appear anywhere in the genealogy of Shem, Ham, and Yefes. It doesn't say there's no such person. That's later. But if you go back to Chumash Bereishis, there's no such thing as the word Chori. The first one that's called Chori is called Seir HaChori. Who is he? He, Mimatonas Avraham, goes on, Ki HaChori, also here, these are such important words, buried all the way in the middle of the Devarim to explain Pshan Apostik and Vinbar. Ki HaChori, Hu HaChivi. Chori, the Ramban, is Chivi, v'hu mibnei Kenan, and Chivi is from the children of Kenan, shenemar, Esav lokach, es noshav, mibnos Kenan, v'es oholivamo, bas ono basivon ha-Chivi, one of his wives was Chivi. That's how Esav established a relationship with this land. It's interesting, even though Esav, we don't have in the Torah any of the children of Yeush, Yalom, and Korach, who were children from the wife of Oholivama, who was a Chivi, yet Seir, somehow they conquered that land, and that land became the land where they settled, and we now going to have the seven sons of this person who was called Seir. Seir Ha Choiri, which comes from Chivi. Okay, so that is something which is extremely important to understand in learning Divrei Hayam. So let's go back to the pasuk. We come to the pasuk Lamed Ches Uvnei Seir. Now we're jumping to the person called Seir. We're going to discuss his seven sons, because Esav's Enoklach are all going to marry into this family. They're going to conquer the land. They're going to dwell here forever, until modern times, however the world develops. Who are the seven sons of Seir? Seven. Loitan, Shaival, Tzivoin, Va'ano, Vidishon, Ve'etzer, Vidishon. Okay, so that's on the chart. You see here seven sons. These are the seven sons of Esav. Now notice there's Dishon and Dishon. The truth is, we're going to see they're really the same name. It's not clear why he called two sons by the same name. Even
Chumashet has a different spelling for it.
Dishon with the Vav.
But Dishon with Cholim, there's no
Yud. That's a pronunciation. It's an extra Yud for pronunciation in the middle of the pasuk. It's very interesting, because we're going to see here, I'll show you why soon, it's very interesting, we're going to see here that they're going to switch the way they're spelled, the way they're pronounced. Right. So you have to say that the Vav and the Yud is not part of the Etzem Hashem, it's part of the vowels, to how to pronounce it. But the name appears to be the same, just a matter of position in the Pasuk, and why we say Dishon or Dishon, like have a Sof Pasuk, and Esnachta, usually it's a Komatz, or it depends on where it appears in the Pasuk. Okay, let's see. Now Pasuk Lamites. Now we're going to describe their children. So Lamites of Lotan, Choyri, V'chemam. Who are the children of... who are the children of Loitan? They are Choyri. Okay, so Choyri is the same as Seir HaChoyri, but that he was just named. He was named after Seir. That was not a new name. That was already an old name. Because Seir, the grandfather, was called Seir HaChoyri in Parshas Vayishlach. The grandson, Lotan, he named his son after his father. He named his son, his first son. My father's name was Seir HaChoyri. I'm going to name my son Choyri and V'Hoimam, period. Now he comes to something very bizarre. V'Achois Loitan, the sister of Loitan was Timnah. So who in the world is this Timnah? So someone wanted to suggest that Timnah is the same Timnah that Esav married. Now, who was she? She was the daughter she was the Bas Eliphaz, and Lotan, there was some type of incest that occurred here. She was the sister, but she was not a sister from the same father. She was a sister. Okay, I'm a little confused, but it's a little confused. But let's put that aside for now. It's not important for our text for the moment. But the pasuk refers to Lotan had a sister, and his sister was called Timnah. And some learned that Timnah ended up being the Lotan's daughter. Was taken by Eliphaz as a Pilegesh, and had Amalek. Okay, let's go to the next son. The second son of Seir, Bnei Shoival, is Alyon. In the Torah, it's spelled Alvon, with a Vav, not a Yud. Another example, Umon Nachas, Ve'evol, Shefi. In the Torah, it's spelled Shefu, not with a Yud. Another example of Vav and Yud, Ve'oinam. We have here five sons of Shoival. Next, Ve'nei Tzivon, who is Tzivon? Aya Va'ana. Now we know Ayov and Ano, they were the ones who discovered the mule. They went and they mated a horse with a donkey to produce a mule. There's a lot of mamzerus. They experimented with interbreeding and things which the Torah does not like to claim. They were not exactly... Now, who came from Ano? Now it does not... Here in the Pasuk, that's what in the Chumash it says, that Ano had a daughter. Who was his daughter? Aholivamah. And that daughter of Tzivon was the third wife of Esav, which produced Yeush, Yalom, and Korach, which seemingly brought Esav into the family of the Chorim, and from there there was a lot of mingling and settling in marriage. So it all comes from Tzivon. So the Torah tells about Aholivamah. Who was she? She was Bas Ana, the daughter of Ana. Who was Anah? Anah is Bas Tzivon. She is a granddaughter of Tzivon HaChori. Okay, so it means that she was a granddaughter. Bas Tzivon does not mean that she was the actual daughter of Tzivon. It means that she was the granddaughter of Tzivon. So you see the entire Yichus. We have over here Seir had a son Tzivon, had a son Anah. Anah had a daughter Oholivamah, and that daughter, you see the arrow takes you all the way back up to Esav, married Esav, and produced three sons, Yeush, Yalom, and Korach. Okay, now we go to the next. Now we go to Bnei Anah. We now go to the fourth son. Now this is confusing, because notice the fourth son of Seir, Anah, has the same name as the son of Tzivon. I look at the names are the same. That's a very difficult question. Some want to say that it's the same person. The Gra says not. The Gra says, even though it's true that Tzivon had a son, Anah, and Seir has a son, Anah, they're not the same. Now when the Pasuk tells us who was the Bnei Anah, the sons of Anah, we're now referring to the grandchildren of Tzivon. The Anah of Tzivon, we're referring to the fourth son of Seir HaChori, called Anah, who was C. Dishon. Now that's not confusing enough, because we already have two Dishons. We have son number 5 is called Dishon, son number 7 is called Dishon, and now we have Anah, who's calling his son also Dishon. So we have here a total of 3. Okay, very popular name. Very popular name, Dishon. Now, there's another... But it's not a very... any in Esav, whatever it means. Okay. Now, we have over here a difficulty, a textual difficulty. What's the textual difficulty? It says, Bnei Anah Dishon. He only has one son. If you only have one son, you shouldn't say Bnei. Bnei is plural. Ben, right. It's a difficulty. So some say it's not a kasha, because that's how the style of writing, to be consistent, we say Bnei, even though here we're only referring to a single son. A Ben Yochit.
You're Nevav again. You can make it Bnei.
No, you're Nevav, but we don't do that. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Bnei Anah Dishon. Now we come to son number 5, Uvnei Dishon. It's confusing, because if you get confused, you would say that we're discussing now the grandson.
Sure.
Anah Dishon, and now the grandson of No. We're now going to Bnei Dishon, his son number 5, Chamron, the Eshbon, the Yisron Ucheron. In the Torah, it's not called Chamron, it's called Chemdon, with a Dalet. There's a Medrash that says originally he was delightful, but he turned sour. Chemda, Chomed. It was delightful, but he turned sour. Chemdon. Okay, next. Bnei Eitzer, son number 6. Bilhon, Vizavon, Yakon. Okay, we have 3 sons. Son number 7. Bnei Dishon. Now look at that. Okay, this is you correct the Baal Koreh. This is a fascinating insight. Look what's going on now. We're up to son number 7, and it clearly says, what is his name? His name is Bnei Dishon. But if you go back to where the 7 sons were listed in Pasuk Lamed Ches, it says, Bnei Seir, Lotan, Shavol, Tzivon, Anah, Dishon, V'Eitzer, V'Dishon. So look what's going on here. So this has forced the commentators to tell us that the truth is Dishon and Dishon are all the same. It's just a matter of pronunciation depending on where it appears in the Pasuk. Now let me ask you, does that mean that if the Baal Koreh makes a mistake and he says Dishon instead of Dishon, you don't correct him? I don't know. You have your L'chor Raya that it's the same thing. So you make a mistake in the pronunciation, but on the other hand, there is a Zavav, not a Vav. Yud, how far do you go? How far do you go in correcting a Baal Koreh? But it's definitely something I never thought.
You got to say right.
What?
Names, we always learn you have to say
right. Say right, correct.
It could be somebody else.
Because somebody else. But over here...
It changes the meaning.
You see here very clearly in this pasuk such a concept that Dishon is the same as Dishon. They're the same person. So you want to say he changed his name later in life. Bad mazel. It's a mishagas. If you think you have a...
list them so close together.
Okay, I don't know.
The Torah is oral. You know, Dishon and Dishon are very similar.
No, but it's true. It's true. But we have it. If we have the nekudos today, we assume we make an assumption that we have the correct tradition. And also, you have to look in the Chumash because there are extra Vavs. There are Vavs and Yuds, and when there are Vavs and Yuds, that forces us to pronounce it a certain way. It's not a matter of, if it's Chaser, there's no Vav and there's no Yud, then you can say either you can pronounce it Dishon or Dishon. So you have to rely upon the Masorah, how do you pronounce it? But when you have a Yud and a Vav, that's a very clear indication.
The same Pasuk, two names, just by the same Pasuk.
Okay. So, but this is something that is very interesting here. The pasuk calls Dishon, who are his sons, Utz va'Aron. Okay, so we have concluded now. Let's recap what we've done over here. We have here Seir HaChori. Seir has no relation to the family of Esav. Seir are descendants of the nation of Chivi. Chivi somehow was corrupted, turned into Chori. Chivi and Chori, I don't know how they became what the Ramban says. They're the same. And who is Chivi? Chivi is a son of Kenan. Who is Kenan? Kenan is a son of Chom. Who is Chom? A son of Noach. Esav does not come from that line. Esav has nothing to do with Chom, Kenan, Chivi. Esav has to do with Noach, Shem, Arpachshad. We go down an entirely different line, all the way down till we come to Terach, to Avram, to Yishmael, and then we come to Esav. We're dealing with a major different highway. Okay, made a different tree. We're not at all on the same page. Yet, the pasuk here, both in Chumash and here in Divrei Hayamim, we stop, we introduce Seir, we introduce his seven sons, because, as the Ramban and the Mefarshim tell us, Esav is going to take a liking to this family called Seir, and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren are going to intermarry with all of the descendants of Chivi and Seir, and they're going to dominate the world. Not only that, Esav is going to conquer the land where Seir HaChori is dwelling upon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Esav supernatural koyach to do this, similar to the power HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael to conquer Eretz Canaan. There has to be that symmetry. It's the Ein Kol Avraham. There has to, and therefore we focus on all of the seven sons of Seir and all of the grandchildren. We also took note that Sivo number 3 had a granddaughter called Aholivama, which ended up being the wife of Esav. He took him the third wife, which produced 3 of his 5 children. And we also know that Lotan, somewhere due to some degree of incest, also there was a sister called Timnah. Also important to know, and that Timnah some also married the grandson, was the Pilegesh of the grandson of Esav, Eliphaz, which produced, as we all know too well, Amalek, which Amalek is a thorn for Klal Yisrael ad Hayom Hazeh. Right? Many want to say that Nazi Germany are all descendants of Amalek. So what more do we need than that? Amalek and all of this comes. What? Germania, Germania, Rav Yaakov Emden. It's not so clear.
Germany, Germanic tribes.
It's not so similar. Rav Yaakov Emden and of the Gra. It's not so. It's not clear that it refers to Germany. It's not absolute. Okay, it's a nice. It sounds good. It's certainly reasonable, but
you know,
trace the sources. What?
You know now what land was saying here?
I think we do. I think it's
Southern Jordan today.
It's to the east of Eretz Yisrael.
Southern Jordan.
It's right, exactly. Southern Jordan, correct. East of Jordan. East of Jordan, a little bit to the south.
East of Israel, on the southern part of Jordan.
East of Israel, the southern part of Jordan. But I think that's Moab. Isn't that where Moab? Okay, you have to look at the map. You got to look at these maps. I think we pretty much know where Seir is. That's where Esav settled in ancient times, and from there he expands. So this is extremely. This extremely critical to get an overview. Esav had 5 sons. Seir had 7 children. They mingled among each other. Esav settled in the land of Seir. 2 important people: Timnah, Aholivamah. And that pretty much captures what we need to know for Divrei Hayamim in this section. Now let's just finish up the perek. Now we describe what became of Esav. After Esav and Seir, they intermarried. They produced very powerful people, and they established the Malchus in this world, Malchus Edom. Edom means red. There are two words for the nation of the descendants of Esav, Edom and Seir. Because Esav had a reddish complexion. He came out with a reddish complexion. And Esav also was Ish Soir. He was a hairy person. So Seir and Edom are interchangeable, referring to the nation that came from Esav through combining himself with his alliance with this person called Seir HaChori and his seven sons, which were really descendants of Ham. So that means that Edom is an alliance. Okay, this is good for you, morale person, is an alliance between Shem and Ham. That's what Edom is. Klal Yisrael is pure Shem. Golos Yavan is pure Yavan. What is Golos Edom? Edom is an alliance. It's the alliance between Shem and Ham.
Okay, but there's this other alliance.
What's Bavel? Yeah.
No, it's the alliance with Yishmael.
The alliance, that's also true. The alliance with Yishmael, but that's all part of Shem. But that's all part of Shem. The alliance of Esav with Yishmael, that's all in the family of Shem. Going back to the roots, the three roots.
Right.
You go down different levels, but on a very major shift. There are three. The world stands on three legs: Shem, Cham, and Yefes. Galus Yavan, Yavan.
Right.
Klal Yisrael is Shem, pure Shem. Esav is a mix. It's a mix. Edom is a mix between Cham and Shem. And what is Bavel? Where does Bavel come from? Where's the chart? Bavel comes from Nebuchadnezzar. Bavel comes from Kastim. So where did the Kastim come from? I don't know. Shame, yeah? Okay, could be. I don't know. We have to figure that out. Okay, let's go further. Let's finish up that. I'm going to mention the different kings. This is familiar to many of you from Chumash. We're running out of time very quickly. We're running out of time, but we're just trying to finish up the parak. The Eila Hamalachim Asher Molchu Be'eretz Edom. Here are the kings that ruled in Eretz Edom. Lefnei Melach Melech Levnei Yisrael. Who's this Melech? There are different opinions. This is Ma'am Shrine of Chumash. This is Pesuk Rana Chumash. So someone Moshe. Some ties Lefnei Melach Melech before Moshe Rabbeinu came to power. Moshe was a Melech. He was a Melech, a Kohen Gadol, Rosh Hashiva, Alamailas. Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's also here called the Melech. Before Moshe Rabbeinu became a Melech, Hashem gave them in advance that same pattern that we mentioned yesterday. The Goyim, Hashem's always paying them off in advance. They have their 12 tribes, and they have their 70 nations, way before Klal Yisrael had its 12 Shvatim, before Klal Yisrael had its 7 Nefashos. They got their Seir way before we got our Eretz Canaan. They always getting paid in advance. The kings, Malchus, they have 8 kings. 8 kings came from Eid is something very significant. You can't say not. 8 kings are, Eid is Lamam Derech HaTeva, whatever that means. 8 kings before Moshe Rabbeinu came to power. That's one interpretation. Others, other portion learn, Lefnei Moloch Melech refers to, there are other opinions which I'm not prepared, so let's just read the names. We'll learn Pasuk now with Melech, and I'll show you a very interesting deek in the Pasuk that really fits very well, that it's Melech. Bela ben Be'or. First one was Bela ben Be'or. We don't know when these people lived. All depends on who the Melech is. These could have lived very early in history, before the time of the Torah, or maybe they lived during the time of the Nevi'im, during the time of Sefer Melachim, David, Shaul, and all of the Jewish kings. So Bela ben Be'or, v'shem yiro Din Hava, he had a city called Din Hava. Vayomos Bola, vayimloch tachtov, Yoivav ben Zerach mi Batsra. Okay, that was his name. Vayomos Yoivav, vayimloch tachtov, Chusham Yeretz HaTeimoni. That was the third king. Vayomos Chusham, these are all descendants of Esav. Vayomos Chusham, vayimloch tachtov, Hadad ben Bedad. What does it say in Chumash? Hadar, with a resh.
Later.
There are two of them. There's Hadad.
Hadad and 3-4 psukim later, it's Hadar.
So I made a mistake. Hadar. So this is Hadar, so I made a mistake then. I put 4.
People in the
Okay, you're right.
Introduction right here of the word Vayomos.
when you listed the lineage before, and you don't have the word Vayomos, this is the children, this is...
Because they're kings, this is Malchus. Because we're dealing here with, we're not dealing with lineage, we're not dealing with genealogy. These are not even necessarily related. These are just kings. These are the leaders of the... These are leaders. Vayomos Yair Vayomach Yimach Tachtav Kusham Eres HaTemoni Vayomos Kusham Yimach Tachtav Hadad Ben Bedad Hamak Es Midyan B'Stei Moyov. He accomplished this mighty task. There was a Melchem Es Midyan in the field of Moav, and he succeeded in conquering them. The shame Iro Avis, period. Vayomos Hadad Vayimach Tachtav Samla Mimas Reka Vayomos Samla Vayimach Tachtav Shaul Merchavos Hanor. Vayamas Shaul, Vayimach Tachtav Bal Chonon Ben Achbar. These are, that was his name. Vayamas Bal Chonon, Vayimach Tachtav Hadad. Hadad. So you're saying that's where it says Hadar in Chumash? So
initially, but by the kings, yeah. Later, three Pesukim near Mafta already, it says
Hadar. Okay. V'shem Iro Pa'i. In Chumash, it's Pa'u. Pa'u. V'shem Ishto. Here we mention his wife. She must have been a queen. She must have been very significant on a simple level. Me he tav el bas matreid bas me zahav. Now here is something which is very interesting. In Chumash, it tells us all of these kings died, except for the last one. If you look in Parshas Vayishlach, there is no mention that the last king Hadad or Hadar died. Here in Divrei Hayamim, mysteriously it says, Vayomos Hadad. He died. So what's going on? Why in Chumash does it not say that he died? And why here does it say that he died? Vayu alufei Edom. The conclusion is, well, now we, okay, so the answer is that someone has said this means clearly these kings were before the Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wrote the Torah, he was still alive. He was the last of the eight kings of Edom. So he was still alive. So Moshe, when he wrote the Torah, cannot write Vayomos Hadar. Moshe was the first king of Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly what it means. That Hashem paid off the nations of the world. Hashem paid off Edom. Eight kings. They got their eight kings before Moshe Rabbeinu came to power. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first, and he overlapped, the first of Klal Yisrael, overlapped with the end, the tail end of the eighth king of Edom. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, the eighth king was still alive. Moshe could not write Vayomos Hadad. But now in Divrei Hayam, Ezra, who's writing this how many years later, more than 1,000 years later, more than 1,500 years later, he's writing this. So he already died, he long died. So that's what Ezra writes, Vayomos Hadad. Okay, and that's a proof that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the time of Moshe, because if you're dealing with the time of the Nevi'im, the time of Malachim, so why didn't the Torah, if the Torah is going to say Vayomos, I mean, how could the Torah say Vayomos? When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, it didn't happen yet. So none of them died yet. It's a Nevu'ah for the future. So al derech pshat, it makes a lot more sense, derech pshat, that these are ancient kings of Edom before the time of Moshe, and the seven, the brach is, not the brach, the Hashem, I'm going to pay you off right away, you'll have your eight kings, and Moshe will arise at the end of the eighth king. Now we mentioned their princes. Who are the princes? They have 11 princes. Just run through this book very quickly. We'll do tomorrow's finish for the parak. Who are the 11 princes? The Aluf, Oholi Vama, the Aluf, the prince of Vayyaluf Edom, Aluf Tina, Aluf Alva, Aluf Yeses, Aluf Oholi Vamam, Aluf Elah, Aluf Pinon, Aluf Kinaz, Aluf Teman, Aluf Mivtsar, Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram, Ela, Aluf Edom, 11, plus Esav. For, I mean, we're really 11. Let's do it with 11. There are a total of 11. This are the 11 alufim of Esav. Now notice on the side, there's a Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says that the eight kings are not the eight kings, like I told before, Moshe Rabbeinu. The eight kings correspond to the eight kings of Klal Yisrael. Shaul, Ishbosheth, David, Shlomo, Rechavam, Avia, Asa, and Yehoshaphat. So that's Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says that those eight kings correspond, and just wrote it down, Esav has 11. The number 11 is associated very much with the Goyim, the nations of the world. 11 is a very important number in numbers. Behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there are 11 Amos. Why there are 11 Amos? So it's a Musar to us. That if you don't behave, if you don't do Ritzoin Shel Makom, Esav is lurking in the background. He's lurking in the background. He'll take away the koyach of the Beis HaMikdash. The number 11 in Medrash and Chazal often is used as a polite reminder that Esav is out there. Halacha biyadenu, Esav sone Yaakov. And if you don't shape up, unfortunately we have what to worry about, and it comes from the eight princes. Okay, there's more to discuss, but we finish the parak. Yerushim tomorrow will fill in some missing gaps.
It doesn't say how long their reigns were.
Does not say. That's the big mystery. Does not say. That's what we don't know. It can be hundreds of years. That's the big mystery. We don't know where to put them in the timeline of history. The only insight is Vavayamos. They all died. Moshe is writing the Torah that they died seemingly before the time of Moshe Rabbeinu.
You say they lived in time with
right. So what does it mean that they died? It's a nevuah. It's a best. Okay.